Rock collectors are called lapidaries. Stamp collectors are called philatelists. Coin collectors are called numismatics. Preachers collect outlines. Now, your pastor could tell you what I mean by that. But whenever a preacher stands up to preach, he can't just take shovelfuls of scripture and throw it over the heads of the audience. So what we preachers do is we take a portion of scripture and we divide it into little perceptual bits we call an outline. So let's outline this. Now I know you kids love the parts of speech. Verbs, gerunds, infinitives, participles. Don't look at me that way. That's good stuff. Those character, if nothing else, right? Where's the first verb in verse 1? Can someone help me out? Anybody? Obey. Go to the head of your class. All right, how about verse 2? First verb in verse 2. Honor. Obey and honor. Now let's paraphrase. Let's think of this as doing right and thinking right. Doing right and thinking right. Now who's supposed to do this? It says here, children. Now who's a child? Well, we think that's rather self-evident. You know, my wife and I have 9 children, and back when all the kids were still at home, every once in a while I'd take my honey out for a date, you know. And I'd call up on the phone. We had rotary phones in those days. get a babysitter and hang up the phone, and I'd turn around, here'd be one of my kids with this long face, and I'd say, what's the matter with you? We're not babies. We're young people. Found out they were insulted to be called a baby, you know. So who is a child then anyway? Well, in another sense, it could be almost anybody. For example, in the Old Testament, there was a small group of men called the Hebrew prophets. And some of those guys were really old. Some of those guys were 40 and up over the hill. And they'd look toward the Lord and they'd say, Lord, I'm but a child. Well, if someone as ancient and decrepit as that could call themselves a child, who is a child then anyway? Well, I don't think that's what Paul's getting at here. I think what Paul's getting at here is someone who's still living at home with mom and daddy. Someone who's still eating there at the family table. Someone who's still sleeping there in one of the family beds. Someone who's not yet left their home to start a home of their own with mama and daddy's enthusiastic permission. Did you get how I qualified that? See, kids, I know what you're thinking. You don't think I do, but I do. You know what you're thinking? Especially the girls, because it's worse with the girls. Marriage. My granddaughter gets married 25 times a week. They play house, you know, and their music and the gowns and the ceremony. And then the older they get, the worse they get. Oh, good night, I'm 16 and I'm still single. Very serious after a while. So now she starts fasting. You know, she's building up her hopeless chest, you know. She's hoping and waiting and praying and fasting and hoping and waiting and praying and fasting. Then all of a sudden one day she... There he is! And she meets Mr. Wonderful. So she brings him home to meet mom and daddy. And mom and daddy look him up and down there. He's a creep. He's a creep, but I love him. Now, wait a minute. If mom and daddy say he's a creep, he's a creep. You see, moms and daddies have this strange commodity called the wisdom of years. And there's only one way to get the wisdom of years. You know what it is? To live that long. You see, mamas and daddies have been making mistakes 20 years longer than all the kids. And as a result of making all those mistakes, they got lots of wisdom. And if you don't listen to your mama and your daddy, you're going to make the same mistakes they made with interest. In fact, it's pretty obvious, isn't it, my friends? All you have to do is look. There's an army of young people out here not listening to anybody or anything but their fallen nature, and they're tearing away at their potential, accumulating all these scars. It's really a sad spectacle to behold. May I put it this way, kids? On your wedding day, it ought to be the happiest day of your parents' lives, if you're doing it right. But if on your wedding day, your mama and your daddy are not enthusiastically happy, something's wrong. You've either got the wrong person, the wrong timing, the wrong circumstance, the wrong something. If mom and daddy aren't happy about it, and you know, if you listen to what I just said, it will save you a lifetime of heartache. And I hope you listen. Now, as we know, Paul wrote this letter to the church at Ephesus. Now, we can just imagine maybe one of the deacons, you know, going out to the mailbox here and open up the mailbox. Oh, a letter from Paul. So he gathers the whole church together there. You know, he stands up to read this letter from the Apostle Paul. Now, as he's reading this letter from the Apostle Paul, guess where I think the kids were? I think they're with mom and daddy. That's startling to some folks. You know, you used to be able to come to church and there'd be family rows. Be mom and daddy, all the kids. Today, I don't know what you're going to find. You know, if you have your kids sitting by you, they're not going to be tempted by their crummy, jerky friends. Not only that, you have them sitting there by you, they won't be a temptation to their crummy, jerky friends. Not only that, you have them sitting there by you and they act up on you, you can reach over and smack them one or pull their ear off or whatever you have to do. Just thought I'd recommend that to you. Now, what does it mean to do right? These Bible words mean things, and this word obey is no exception. It literally means give ear to. Listen. Listen to whom? The voice of authority, remember? Mama, daddy, pastor, teacher, whomever, that's my voice of authority. And this is so fundamental, we miss it. Picture this youngster being raised in this modern, progressive home. Oh, well, we dursn't spank the little sweetheart. It might give him latent aggressive tendencies. So this kid grows like a weed in this permissive, indulgent environment, and pretty soon he gets pretty tired of what few rules do. Boy, oh boy, mom and dad won't cut me any slack. Well, I'm getting sick of this. I'm going to join the Marines. So he enlists in the Marine Corps, and here's this guy called his drill instructor screaming at him 3 inches from his nose. Who do you think you are screaming at me like that? I'm your sergeant! You know, he ends up getting a bad conduct discharge. They say he's incompatible with the military, which is a national disgrace. A number of times that's happening. To, well, I'll show them. I'll get a job. So he goes into the labor market. So here's this guy barking orders at everybody. Well, who do you think you are ordering everybody around? Your boss. He loses his job. He won't listen to instructions. So he lasts a couple days and he's fired. So he goes from one job to another. Well, I'll show them. I'll go to church. So he goes to church. So here's this man overseeing things called the pastor. Well, who do you think you are overseeing? You think, well, I'm the pastor here and he causes church problems. Or it could be a young woman. She says, who do you think you are? I'm your husband. Marital conflicts. Where we live in our county, 60% end up in divorce courts. Do you see what I'm saying, my friends? If we don't teach our children to listen to the voice of authority, we're setting them off into life with this major handicap in their personality, in their life experience. You know, kids, I don't know any of you, but I don't need to. If I were to check with your pastors and find out one thing, if I knew this one thing, I could give you an accurate prognostication about your future walk with God. Well, what's that? How you treat your parents. Because if you won't listen to a mother and a father that you can see and hear, what makes you think you're going to listen to a God you cannot see, who speaks to you from the pages of a book? Don't be deceived, my young friends. You're not going to know, obviously, the grace of God can do miracles, and praise God for that. But all things being equal, you watch how a child treats their mom and dad. That's pretty much how they're going to treat the living God when they leave their home someday. And that's a sad commentary of what's going to be happening in our country if what I see is true around the country that I travel. Now, kids, I'm going to give you something kind of strong here, so you might want to grip your chair. Now, when mom and daddy tell you to do something, here's what you do. Yes, sir. I'd be glad to. I know that's pretty bizarre. That's pretty far out. But it's right. And it's godly. And it'll build character in your soul. Yes, sir. I'd be glad to. You know what you'd have to do something as weird as that? You'd have to give up feelings. How many here this morning have ever taken a ride on what's called a roller coaster? May I? Foolish people. You're not getting me on one of those things. I've seen those things. Don't lose your life and your lunch, right? Not me, brother. But you know, those roller coasters are an ideal illustration of feelings. There's some days I get up out of bed and let me at the devil. Oh, I'm going to do great things for God today. I'm going to climb mountains. I'm going to forge streams. I'm going to do great things for the Lord. Then the next day I get up and I'm going to go back to bed. Why? Because I'm not always on mountaintops. And I doubt that most of us are. But that's not the point. Life is not made up of feelings. Life is made up of duty, responsibility, obligation, not feelings. Picture this typical American youngster sprawled all over his favorite piece of furniture there in the living room is watching his favorite filth on TV. And it's just kind of the juiciest, most raunchy part. And just then dad comes and says, I'd like for you to go dump the garbage right now, please. Now, what would this typical American youngster say at a moment like that?
I'm watching my favorite filth. This is kind of the juiciest part.
But if he had an ounce of character in his or her shoals, yes, sir, I'd be glad to. Why are you looking at me funny? That's what you do. Now, kids, if you do that, have the number for the ambulance handy. Because mom and dad are going to faint dead away. Probably hit their head on the cupboard or something. So you go around the house saying weird stuff like that. Have the number for the ambulance handy. Now, this business of doing right is also defined by submitting. What does that mean? Well, for one thing, it means no sass, no lip, no back talk. You see, when mom and daddy say to do something, it doesn't mean that it's now discussion time.
Well, I did it last time. But what about my brother or my sister? I had them all work around here. I'm the family slave.
I've heard all that garbage before. Now listen, when mom and dad say to do something, that means you get up off your duff and get moving. Not these long, protracted discussions about who's being put upon all the time. You know, as you read the letter to the Hebrews, you learn that even our Lord Jesus Christ learned obedience. How? Through the things which he suffered. See, kids, you're not going to learn submission when mom and dad say, all right, now, eat your ice cream, unless you happen to eat ice cream. Now, you might learn submission when they say, clean your bedroom, clear the table, wash the dishes, dust the house, rake the leaves, mow the grass, trim the hedge. You might learn submission then. We don't learn submission or obedience when we're asked to do something we enjoy. We're going to learn that character quality of submission when we're asked to do something we don't enjoy. And kids, the rest of your lives, God's going to ask you to do things you're not necessarily going to like, but you need to do it because that's what God wants you to do. Now, this business of doing right is also defined by showing initiative. Now, I know that's a big old word, but basically all that means is you go ahead and do it before you're asked. Now, in order to tell you about this, I need to tell you about a job. A job never went to school. So a job has a very limited vocabulary. All a job can say is two words. All a job can say is, do me, do me. It's all a job sits around and says all day long. Now, have you ever had a lazy weekend at your place where you just let the place go? We've done that. Pick up your shoes, let them fly, and papers everywhere, and potato chips being ground into the carpet, you know, just kind of a hog's tie, but we're kind of relaxing and enjoying the mess, you know, and the kitchen. What's worse? Mountains of dirty dishes, gravy spilling, just a hog's tie, but we're kind of relaxing and enjoying the mess, you know. And while we're relaxing and enjoying this mess, we company. Very embarrassing. This pastor friend of mine shows up with his entire family unannounced. We were just mortified with embarrassment. They come in the living room and see all these jobs going, do me, jobs everywhere. But the loudest screams were coming from the kitchen. Great big jobs in there. Now, he had these two older daughters, so they followed the source of the loudest screams, so they went on in the kitchen. And they poured in the water and poured in the soap, and boy, their soap suds are flying, you know, and they're washing dishes and putting them away. And I'm standing there. I couldn't believe what I was watching. No one asked them to do that. No one even hinted that they should. But see, they saw work had to be done. They just dove right in. That is initiative. No one has to tell you. You just do it. Now the second level of initiative is not quite as good. Let's imagine, Mama, you can have all the kinfolk over at your place, all the in-laws, outlaws, army of people coming. There's so many folks coming, you have to get up at 4 o'clock that morning. You're in that kitchen sweating, excuse me, ladies perspire. And they're perspiring away getting that meal on. And along about 11:30 that morning, Auntie so-and-so finally shows up and she says, "Is there anything I can do to help?" Now you're about ready to fall over from exhaustion, right? She comes in and says something like that. Now most mamas, "Oh, no, that's fine, I'll finish up myself." But she ran a risk, didn't she? Because Mama, well, as a matter of fact, you can set those tables, make those biscuits, wump up that gravy. She could have been put to work. But I've noticed something. Have you noticed this? A whole lot of these people who go around saying, "Is there anything I can do to help?" are hoping you'll say no. They want to look good, but they don't want to get their hands dirty. You understand what I'm saying? A little bit of an issue there, but not a whole bunch. Now, the last level of it, this is the basement now, is where Mom and Daddy have to form a posse. Track down the kid, capture him, tie him up with a rope, drag him back to the job, kicking and screaming, and compel him to do it at the threat of his life. Why? Because there's no initiative whatsoever. That's why. Now some youngsters, "Well, what's the big deal about initiative?" I'll tell you what the big deal is. If you don't have initiative as a part of your heart and soul, you're not going to amount to a hill of beans. God blesses people who are self-starters. And if you don't have initiative, congratulations, you're well on your way to becoming a professional welfare recipient the rest of your life. What a noble goal. God bless those people who just go ahead and get the job done. Now, this business of doing right is also defined by pleasing authority. You mean, that's exactly what I mean, your mama and your daddy. "Oh, you don't understand." See, I never understand. Well, what don't I understand? Well, I don't like to talk about it. See, my parents are hypocrites. Really? Yeah, it's really bad. You should have seen them last Sunday. They were having a knock-down, drag-out, spitting, stomping, tooth and toenail hair pulling fight. Then they came to church and they're smiling at everybody. Just a bunch of hypocrites. Oh, in other words, since your parents are hypocrites, well, of course not. Don't expect me to be a bunch of hypocrites, do you? Well, as a matter of fact, I do. You do? Yeah, I do. Now, kids, listen. There's no such thing as the perfect parent on the planet Earth. You know why? They don't exist. Well, there are perfect parents, but they have celestial bodies. They're in Emmanuel's land, but they're not this side of the Jordan River. All parents fail. All parents make mistakes. There is no such thing as the perfect parent. Now, obviously, if your parents ask you to be a drunkard and a drug addict, you can't obey stuff like that. Then you've got to obey the Lord and take the consequences. And I know there's people like that in this world, but praise God, they're still in the minority. Even though your parents fail, even though they make mistakes, God expects you to obey imperfect parents. Never get a French poodle. They're without a doubt the most stubborn, rebellious, disobedient dogs in all of creation. We had one. Actually, it was my daughter's dog. Now, I will have to admit, when it was a pup, it was cute. You ever see a little poodle pup? Just a little bundle of fur, just cute as a bug's ear. Then it grew up. We'd be gone somewhere, and our front door has these glass panels, you know, as you can see through, and we'd be coming back from wherever we were, and this dog would be inside the house, and she'd see us coming, you know, and she'd, "Ee-ee-ee." You ever see a dog wag its tail so hard it turns sideways? It just tickled me. So it's wanting to please, you know. Well, now listen. If a little stubborn, rebellious, disobedient, reprobate son of perdition poodle pup can show that it wants to please authority, and they do, what's your problem? I know, we're not dogs. That's my point. There's a chasm of difference between us and a dog. You have a soul that'll never die. It's going to spend eternity in heaven or hell, depending on what you do with Christ. You have reason, will, emotion, intelligence that dogs don't possess. You know, we have several hounds there at our ministry, and I'll talk to those hounds, and they'll go, poof, real intelligent conversation. You know, I can't discuss the issues of the day with those hounds. They don't read the daily paper. They don't keep up with current events. They don't sit at the window and admire the sunset. They're a dog, for crying out loud. They don't appreciate Bach or Beethoven or Mantovani. They're a dog. And if a dog with all of their limitations can show that they want to please authority, and they do, what's your problem? Let's imagine your mama has been screaming now for half an hour, and she's just about ready to scream herself down to a squeak.
Would you please clean off that bedroom?
And she's about ready to give up the ghost over this thing. So finally, this kid whops up some generosity in his or her soul.
Oh, all right, I'll do it.
Boy, that just blesses her soul. Let me ask you a question. Why didn't you get a scoop shovel going in that pigsty called your bedroom an hour previously? See, if you really wanted to please, that's the kind of stuff you'd be doing. You know, Paul uses an interesting verb here. It's what we call a present tense. Now, what that means is you don't just obey today, but tomorrow too. Next week, next month, next year, next decade, you keep on obeying as a habit of life. You don't obey to be noticed. You don't obey to maneuver and manipulate or to get things. Here's old dad. He's worked a double shift, so he's absolutely wrung out. He's staggering toward the front door. Before he can get to the front door bursts open, and it's his teenage daughter's. Hi, Daddy. And she comes out and hugs his neck, gives him a big old slobber. He goes, oh, Daddy, you work so hard. You're such a hard worker, Daddy. Here's your evening paper, Daddy. Here's your glass of iced tea, just like you like it, Daddy. And by the way, Daddy, I love you. And Daddy says, what do you want? Well, now that you ask, there's this dress on sale over at the shopping center, you little varmint. You don't act sweet and nice to get something back in return. That's what this world does. That's the old give to get routine. That's all. That's pagan. That's selfishness. I'll give to get. That's not what God's talking about here. You obey whether you get something or not. You obey whether you're noticed or not. You don't maneuver and manipulate. God wants you to do this just to please Him. And by the way, if you remember your grammar, this is what's called an imperative verb. This isn't just sage counsel or wise advice. This is orders from the throne room of heaven. And not a lot of kids, you know, well, why should I do all that stuff? I'm glad you've asked. There's several reasons why you should. Do you ever hear a kid say, who says? You ever hear that? Who says? I might say to my youngest daughter,
you know me? Yes, sir?
Would you go tell your baby brother to mow that back lawn? Oh, boy. I love to tell my baby brother what to do.
Jesse?
Yeah?
Go mow the back lawn. Who says? Dad says! Where's the mower? It seems to make a difference who says what. Now, see, kids, I know what you're thinking. You don't think I do, but I do. You know what you're thinking? You're thinking that pastor and your parents get together down here for secret meetings. And pastor has told your parents to show up at 4 o'clock in the morning while you're still sleeping in your beds. And he's told your parents to leave the house very quietly so as to not awaken you. And he gets your parents down here in these front rows, and he stands up in front of them, and he goes, let's dream up some more rules to make these kids miserable. That's what you're thinking. Now, I got news for you. That's not going on. For one thing, we don't want to lose our sleep. Now, I do hope there's a list of rules in your house, because that tells me something about the godly character of your parents. I hope the tree limbs keep disappearing in the backyard. You understand what I'm saying? I hope that's the kind of parents you've got. Tonight, Lord willing, we're going to show you a film about our ministry. We take in teenage girls. They come from Alaska, Florida, Maine, California, all points in between. And so they've never even been to our ministry, much less our state. We check them in there, and my problems, my parents. Didn't have my parents, I wouldn't have any problems. They're so old-fashioned, they squeak. They come from the days of square wheels. I know they can. I never get to do anything. Everybody else gets to do everything. My problems, my parents. And they get to Heps of a house. They discover they've got a new problem. Because, you see, their problem's not their parents in the first place. And neither is yours. Your problem's your heart. And until you get your heart problem solved, you'll have a problem the rest of your days. Now, it begins with mommies and daddies, because those are God's representatives to you. They're called parents. And then, according to Galatians, he has tutors and governors, he has pastors, teachers, counselors, others that help mommies and daddies to reach your heart and teach you character, teach you how to be a responsible, productive, self-controlled citizen of this society. But if you don't listen to them, then God has to do something else. What's that? Well, he has to do the reproofs of life. That's like police officers, judges in courtrooms, auto accidents, broken bones, premature death. That's what God has to do. You know, you can make your own decisions in this country when you reach a certain age. We live in a free country. But you cannot decide the consequences of those decisions. And God will teach you through the reproofs of life. And if you won't listen to a mom and a daddy that love you, care for you, if you won't listen to a man of God who loves you and cares for you, and your teachers and counselors and others who love you, then you're going to have to learn the hard way. And that's a very sad thing, because you get lots of scars. Now, typically, well, that's all right for you to say, but you don't understand. See, I never understand. Well, what don't I understand this time? Well, I don't like to talk about it. See, I've got a stepmother, like it's a disease or something, you know. God, I've got a stepfather. That's even worse, you know. Well, in other words, since you have a stepfather, well, of course not. Don't expect me to obey someone who's not my real parent, do you? Well, as a matter of fact, I do. You show me that one in the Bible. You show me in the Bible where I've got to obey someone who's not my real parent. Well, I'd be glad to. You would?
Yeah.
You remember the Lord Jesus? Of course I do. You remember his daddy? I mean, Joseph? Yeah. Forgot about him, didn't you? You see, Joseph was not his biological father, but he was his legal stepfather. And let me tell you something about Joseph and Mary. They weren't perfect. They made mistakes. They failed sometimes. What did the Lord Jesus do? Parents like God. He obeyed them. He honored them. Just like God expects you to do with yours. You know, it's a wonderful thing when you see kids go to camp and they memorize scripture and hear preaching and study the Bible and do all these wonderful things. But you know, I've heard kids memorize dozens of verses and learn to pray like St. Francis of Assisi. But they treat their mom and dad like a bag of garbage. And that's wicked. You know what the Bible says, kids? The Bible says that even a child is known by his doings. You see, what you are is not what you are here, because there's adults all over the place, you know. What you are is not what you are in school, because there's mean teachers all over, you know. What you are is not even what you are with your friends. That's a portion of what you are. But you know what you really are? It's what you are at home. The real you is what you are with your family. And if you're acting like and living like a devil in your home, that's because that's what you are. You know, I hope you get a hold of that. Because if you don't get your heart changed, you young men get in the service, you'll have a problem with your non-commissioned officers. I don't care if you go around the other side of this planet, you're gonna have a problem with authority figure in your life till you get your heart problem solved. Well, first we do right, then we think right. This is the honoring part. What does it mean to honor? That means to treat something as having great value, great worth. Our oldest son is now our pastor, but I can remember when he was little Donnie in the house, and he had some neat stuff. He had an old dead badger, a stuffed badger, but it got pretty bad, so Mom pitched it out, but he had a cat's skull, model airplane, neat stuff. At the end of the day, he put it way up on the top shelf of his bedroom, took a ladder to get up there. Now you might say, well, what did you put it up so high for? Because he had eight little brothers and sisters. Keep their grubby little paws out of it. Now, the sacrificial items went on the lower shelves. You know, they could mess with that stuff if they want to. But boy, that neat stuff went on the top shelf, brother. Now, isn't that illuminating? Here's this little guy who couldn't even think very well in abstract thinking yet, as young as he was. But you could already tell what he honored by how he treated it. And that's true of you and me here this morning. But sadly, a whole lot of kids treat their mom and dad like a bag of dirt. Now, they'll be sweet to the letter carrier while they're dumping on mom and dad. They'll be nice to the FedEx courier. They'll be nice to the neighbors. I'll guarantee you they'll be nice to their friends. They'll take care of their cell phone and their MP3 and their CD. Well, they'll take care of that stuff. They'll treat that like gold while they're dumping on mom and dad. And that's wicked. And if you're doing that nonsense, I hope you never marry. Ah! How can you say such a thing? Because you'll treat your spouse the same way you've treated your parents. That's why I say that. You will treat your spouse the same way you've treated your parents. Think about this. Your being in that house is not some fortuitous concurrence of circumstances. God put you in that family. You've either been adopted, birthed, or fostered. Somehow, God put you in that family where you are right now. That's not accidental. That's providential. And God expects you to thrive and grow and develop and become all that you can be for Christ in that family where he put you. You're a tiny little naked baby. They put clothes on your naked little body. They put food in your empty little tummy. They changed your filters. They prayed about your sicknesses. They got you through all these problems in your life. And how dare you dishonor them? You're an ungrateful wretch. That's what you are if you dishonor your mom and dad. You know, I wish I could stand up here and say, we have the perfect family. That's certainly not true. We try, I imagine, like you folks do. You know, when the kids were still at home, whenever I'd go somewhere, we'd all gather up in the living room. We'd have a circle of prayer. And I love you too. And we'd hug each other's neck, you know, and I'd take off. One time I was preaching in Canada, and I stopped to get gas, and I couldn't get the thing in the gas tank. So what on earth? So I reached out and pulled this big wad of paper. What? So I opened the sandwich. Dad, bet you're surprised to find this, aren't you? Just want you to know, Dad, I love you and praying for you, Dad. Oh, for crying out loud. I got my gas and took off. And I like to listen to stuff while I'm traveling, you know, so I'm trying to put this thing in my player. Get this wad of paper out of my player and open this thing up. And say, Daddy, you're the best preacher in the world, Daddy. I love you. Praying for you, Daddy. So I get to my motel and note falls out of my skivvies from my sweetheart, and she gives me some scripture and tells me how she loves me. Now I want to tell you what, that stuff blesses my soul. Kids, can I ask you a question? When's the last time you said to Mom and Daddy, I love you? I hope that was this morning or yesterday. When's the last time you hugged their neck and gave them a big old slobbery kiss? I hope that was this morning or yesterday. Or when's the last time you even cared they were alive? You know, I have no doubt that there's some average sons and daughters here this morning. We've got some homework to do. And Mom and Daddy, we dare not forget we're the parents, are we not? Boy, we put right food in their stomachs and right clothes on their backs and teach them how not to pick their nose in public and all this good stuff we do. But if we haven't taught them how to obey and honor, what have we accomplished? Would you bow your heads and your hearts, please, in an attitude of prayer? As we're in this attitude of prayer, I wonder, is there a young person here, a son or a daughter here this morning, could say, Preacher, God has spoken to my heart, and God helping me, I want to stop my wrong attitude and my wrong actions and my terrible words. God helping me, I want to be that son or daughter God wants me to be. Would you please pray for me? May I pray for you this morning? Would you just quietly lift your hand that I might pray for you? Is there a child here like that? God bless you. Thank you. Any others quickly? Is there a mommy or daddy here today that said, preacher, pray for me? I realize in this awful, wicked world in which we live, it's more and more challenging every day to raise children. But I want to, by God's grace, I want to do my job. Please pray for me this morning. May I pray for you? Amen. Thank you. Father, give grace, Lord, especially to these mommies and daddies. We do indeed live in perilous times. We're in a post-Christian era in our country. We're rapidly heading into secularism and paganism with every passing week. Lord, help us by thy grace to be God's kind of parents to these children who need us so desperately. Help these children, Lord, to form a conscience that they would recognize that they don't want the attitudes and the thinking and the values of this world, but rather what the scriptures teach. God, help these sons and daughters to be arrows in the hands of a mighty man. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.